Hello, and welcome to The Squeal, PIC's Swine Management Podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. We continue our conversation on day one pig care with a look at pre-farrowing preparation, personnel, and colostrum management. For part two of our three-part series, we have Steve Horton, sow farm supervisor for Thomas Livestock.
My name's Steve Horton.
And PIC's Kendall Weger and Pedro Mosquera.
I'm Kendall Weger. I work with Global Technical Services at PIC.
My name is Pedro Mosquera. I also work with Technical Services.
Farrowing starts a long time before farrowing, or successful farrowing. As we look at that continuum, preparation, handling, movement, what are some of those areas that we need to make sure that we're hitting on the mark as far as those things that are ready for that sow to perform when the farrowing day comes?
So body condition, we know, I mean, it affects everything in the farm, but it is so critical that we have sows in proper body condition when they're going into farrowing. So figure 90% of your sows or more, we would love to have in ideal condition going into farrowing, you know, to really optimize that performance. And that doesn't just happen one time. That is all through gestation. So we've got to be checking body condition at breeding, at 30 and 60 and 90 days, and making sure we're adjusting the feed so that sow isn't going into farrowing heavy, underconditioned, because we know that either way the sow is going to have difficulty. So, you know, if she's heavy, she's going to have difficulty farrowing, the milk production may not be there, and either way we're going to compromise lactation intake. And we know if our sows aren't eating well, they're not going to be raising their pigs the way we want them to.
So making sure that we have the right sow at the right place. When we talk about right sow, we need to manage very well the body condition of our sows, as well as bringing the right sow to farrow. So we need to have a good, let's say, culling rate or culling process for the sows to avoid breeding marginal females. And when we talk about the right place, we talk about room preparation to make sure that that sow that is going to farrow will have the proper environment, will have the proper temperature, will have the proper facility. So when she farrows, we can provide the best early pig care for her.
What about the facility? What do we need to make sure that we're hitting on that?
So on the room preparation, we need to make sure that the temperature of the room, it is in the right range. There are different ranges that different producers use, but that will be around 72 to 76 degrees for the first days of life of the piglet. It is important to say that in the farrowing room, there are different temperatures that we need to have. So the 72 to 76 will be for the sows, and we need to have the micro environment prepared for the piglets as well. Let's say on the 90 to 95 degrees Fahrenheit for the piglets, make sure that everything is okay. We need to make sure that the water nipples are working, okay? The washing and disinfection, it is important to check if that was well done. Check even if the facility is dried before bringing the sows, I would say, are key components of the room preparation.
And to jump on what Pedro's saying, I think it can be difficult to get slat level employees to buy into this because, oh, you know, it's just kind of the last of the day, quick, everyone set up the room and we go home. But we need to realize that every extra minute we spend setting up the farrowing room could save 2 minutes or more later on. So if we've got everything set to go, we're going to be much more successful and in the end save time and be more efficient.
Steve, do you have a team that does that? I mean, do you have a specified people who you are comfortable with that are trained and, gosh, I don't know, I guess consistent and reliable enough to accomplish those tasks?
Yes, we do. Actually, that group of people that do the power washing and disinfecting, they actually, the lead person of that group, does inspects the barn before it's even disinfected to make sure if there's any touch-up we would need. And then we always plan it to where those people are done washing and disinfecting, and then they take their lunch hour, so we have dry time before we ever bring the sows in. And they're the ones that set up to have the mats and the heat lamps going, and everything there is expected to be done. And you know, I think as you talk about each job in the farm being important. What we try to do is we try to go and show them how they are affecting things by doing a good job. We're going to have less scours. We're going to have the right environment for those pigs to where we would have less treating of the pigs and save the work in the long run. And I echo the thing of working smarter, not harder.
Let's talk about during lactation. What are some really good ideas, your best experiences feeding that sow during that lactation period?
Well, first and foremost, the sow needs to know where to eat and drink. Of course, most sows know this, but it's very common when a gilt goes in that people just treat her like a sow. So they don't ensure that she has found the drinker. You can walk in and see dust on the drinkers and know they've gotten nothing. And we have a lot of ad-lib systems now where they have to use a mechanism to get the feed out. Does she know how to do that, yes or no? So that's first and foremost. They need the access. And also, we want to make sure that the sow is offered full feed as soon as she farrows, if not a little earlier, because we don't want to limit any feed for that sow. She absolutely needs as much as she wants to eat, but it's important to remember it needs to be clean, fresh feed. We can't just pile a bunch of garbage in there and say, okay, you're good. So making sure feeders are clean and she has the offer of full, fresh feed daily, and also that we're getting her up every day. Get her up. Make sure she's going to that feeder. Make sure she's drinking. Make sure she's urinating and defecating. It all goes into it.
And that first day, that day one, she should be up when? By the end of the day?
Yes. During the farrowing period, she will reduce the feed intake. But after the farrowing period, as she desires to eat more, we can start providing the feed that she wants to eat.
How do you do that, Steve, at your operation? How do you make sure that they're on full feed? I mean, I don't know what your facility looks like, so describe that.
In our facility, actually, we bring the gilts and sows into the farrowing house at 112 days. Our average farrowing date is going to be about 115.5. So from the day they come in, we put them on ad-lib full feed. So it is very important, was stated, you have to make sure that they understand how to work the system and know how to get feed out. But we put them on full feed right at the start as soon as they come in. And we find that in tracking the feed that the sows actually limit themselves as they prepare to farrow and before farrowing. The one thing, we do get up every individual sow every day just to check on her and see how she's doing, making sure that she's eating, checking to see if she's got a temperature. But even during the farrowing process, we find a lot of times when a sow slows down that if we get her up and walk her, that then she will proceed to have the pigs and it saves us using some medication.
And walk her just means you've let her out of that pen, taken her down the aisle back, and it's not 5 minutes probably.
No, it's just getting her to shift and walk down the hallway. So, yeah, probably 2 minutes at the most.
Okay, let's talk for a moment or two about farrowing, key elements in farrowing, and an experienced support person in the farrowing room knows at which point they need to assist a sow. But what's the right answer for that? If I'm not experienced, what's the marker that says, oh, I need to do something?
Well, you make a good point, Ned, because it does take a lot of experience, and it's very difficult to make black and white protocols. But a few things that we can talk about are, like Pedro said earlier, if I am doing my 20 to 30 minute rounds and I come back and a sow doesn't have a new piglet on the ground, she's actively farrowing, she's got three or four pigs and I haven't seen one, that would be something that would draw my eye. Also, you can physically see the sow hiking up a leg, contracting, bearing down, maybe she's got red eyes. If you can physically see distress, that could be another reason that I'd want to go in and sleeve a sow. Or if I've got stillborns behind her, I mean, that's a very obvious one. So I think just trying to pick on the most obvious reasons and not try to overthink it.
One point on the assistance, it is interesting to say that the assistance can be for the sow and also for the piglets as well. The person that is assisting the sows, they may see a piglet cold in the corner of the crate that they can help that piglet, right? So there are more things other than only assisting the sow, as assisting the piglets for them to, at that time, to have the right start. For example, if a piglet is in a corner, to check if the piglet is getting cold or not. If he's cold, maybe try to bring him to a heat source. After he's better, help him to find the teeth of the sow. It's also assistance.
Yeah, and that brings us to colostrum management. You've got a group of sows to oversee during that half-hour period. Do you mark them? How do you know which ones have been there?
Marking is an excellent way to do it, and then I think we also need to remember that there's more than one way to skin a cat. So I like using the term colostrum management instead of just saying split suckling, because I can follow a split suckle protocol perfectly and not make any difference. Because like Pedro said, if that chilled pig is in the corner or somebody's trying to nurse on the wall, they don't know where to go, I can split suckle and take those largest competitive pigs out, and I've made no difference because I haven't helped those smaller piglets get the colostrum that they need.
Steve, what have you found to be successful in working in that area?
We actually we will milk the colostrum off of a sow that is spilling her milk as she's having contractions. And so then we will, those pigs that you find in the corner that are nursing the wall, we will give colostrum to with a syringe and then try to get them strong enough to where they can get started on the teeth. The other thing, you know, that I think is, as we talk about those details, we use just a simple little thing of index cards. It doesn't matter what you use, as long as, like what Kendall said is very true, there's more than one way to skin a cat. But how can you let that next person that's coming in to take care of the saddles know what's going on? And that's what we're trying to do with that information, is letting them know what we've seen, how many pigs she had a half hour ago, how many stillborns, and seeing what is going on. We also try to take care of, we have somebody there to assist 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that initially, by doing that, yes, you think of saving the pigs, but I think it does so much for the sows and making sure you're addressing the problems when they're there. And you never, you know, when we used to, I used to work at farms where we didn't have people working 24 hours around the clock. And when you came in, it seems like you were always trying to hurry up and get caught up. And we don't feel like we have that or doing that when we have 24-hour care.
So drying piglets makes me think of one of my first jobs was in a grocery store. And my job that evening was to mop the grocery store floor. And I mopped the whole thing with one bucket of water, and I thought I've done my job. Well, drying piglets, kind of the same. How do you know when a piglet's dry? I mean, how many pigs can I dry with a towel? Do I use powder? What are my best techniques for drying piglets?
Well, there are different preferences about what to use. Some producers will prefer the towel. Some of them will prefer the powder. Okay, I see the positive sides and the negative sides of each one.
What are they?
For example, the towel. One negative side, I see sometimes the farms talking to me about having a washer and a dryer. You know, they would not like to dry up after the shower with the same towel they are drying the piglets. Okay, so it is one. On the powder, a negative side of that sometimes will be, some people will report about being allergenic. So both for piglets and for people. So it depends on the company. I think both works well, okay, and it depends on the preference. But as long as the piglet is dried after the farrowing, I think we have that step done.
And the rule is every piglet gets dried? Big ones, small ones?
Ideally, yes. If you need to prioritize, I would prioritize the small and mid-sized piglets.
So the next topic is one that the pendulum has swung back and forth so many times on, cross-fostering. Do we, don't we, biosecurity, what issues does this cause? But PIC's perspective, cross-fostering, when does it come into play? What are the best rules?
The fostering, it is interesting to talk about. It seems that if we ask 10 different people how they do the fostering, we'll have 20 different answers, right? So we try to work with principles, okay? So we try to load our gills with more piglets to try to better develop their udders for that, okay? We try to have all the piglets with a functional teeth when that's possible. Many times when the farms will have a very high born alive, that will not be possible, but it helps to have, as well as minimizing the movements in the case when the systems face health challenge. Okay, we see that all these things will help on the fostering process. And one point important for the fostering process is to make sure that that piglet that is leaving the sow already drank the colostrum. Okay, so before you asked about some marks that we could have in the piglets, some systems I work with, they will have a green mark on the piglets that the people see they have a full belly, of course, of milk and colostrum. So if they want to move a piglet from that litter, they will pick the ones that already drank the colostrum and that have the green mark.
How do you do that, Steve? I mean, how do you select which ones, or what are the rules of thumb?
As the sows are faring, we will bring in and make nurse sows if for the born alive being higher when we don't have enough room. One of the first things we do when the sow comes in is we check her teeth and make sure that we have that listed on the curd so we know how many pigs we can put on her. And so we will, if she has 14 teeth, we're going to be putting 14 on her. And so... we're going to try to load up the gilts to every teat they have, as he said, to develop the udder. And to us, we feel like the baby pig doesn't have to get colostrum off of the mother, but the important thing is that they get colostrum. So we choose a sow that has the right size nipples to be able to allow the smaller pigs to go on. And when they're farrowing, we'll be moving those smaller pigs to another one that is farrowing, that has colostrum, and then the competition is even in that. So we, you know, and I agree that according to where cross fostering can be increased if you have very good health. If you've got poor health, you've got to limit that and do as little movement as possible. So
you've been listening to part two of our day one pig care discussion on the Squeal, featuring Thomas Livestock's Steve Horton and Kendall Weger and Pedro Mosquera from PIC. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.